At 159 South Jackson Street, Suite 200 in Seattle, you'll find the front office for the Seattle Sounders. But before the Sounders were a Major League Soccer powerhouse, they were part of a minor league outfit called the USL. They were also in a different building back then, and one of the businesses down the hall from the Sounders office is where Christine O'Connell worked doing graphic design. As a result, Christine got to know some of the Sounders players, including now-retired Sounder defender Zach Scott. She and Zach became friends, and when Zach decided to retire at the end of the 2016 season, Christine wanted to do something special to celebrate his career. So she designed scarves in honor of Zach to sell at his last match. It's kind of a soccer tradition called the testimonial match. Well, the scarves sold out. Zach Scott had family friends at the time whose 10-year-old daughter was fighting brain cancer. So Zach donated the scarf money to Seattle Children's Hospital. Christine had a little girl of her own named Jane. She started following the story of this girl who was battling cancer, who she calls Awesome Avery, on her family's blog. It was inspiring.
And I remember reading that and thinking, you know, what she's sharing here is going to be a light in the darkness for somebody.
Christine was right about that. It's just that she had no idea that somebody would be her.
Now, I remember meeting or talking to Avery's mom at Zach's testimonial match, which was the very beginning of March 2017. And 2 weeks later, I was in Awesome Avery's mom's shoes. 2 weeks later. We went in, and it was St. Patrick's Day, and we're the O'Connells. Keep in mind, we're the O'Connells, and this was our holiday. And we went in for, you know, a blood test and some x-rays, and I came home, and Jane was sitting on the couch watching a show. That was her reward for getting through the blood draw. And a doctor called from our pediatrician's office. I don't even know who it was. And she said they found a mass in Jane's abdomen. And then the doctor started to cry. And she told us that they'd be waiting for us at Seattle Children's. And that's really how our journey started. They weren't sure what it was. They could see that it was on her kidney, that there was a tumor on her kidney. And they were really preparing us for kind of a worst case scenario. And so they said, we're going to go in, and if it's safe to remove, we will. And if it's not, we'll just take a biopsy to see what it is that we're dealing with. And a few days after we were admitted, which felt like a month, Jane went in for a 6.5 hour surgery. And we found out about 40 minutes in that they were going to be able to remove the tumor, which I don't know if you can express a relief so great that it hurt. I mean, when we got that news, because the idea that they would go in there and poke a hole in it, which is cancer cells can leave through that hole, to biopsy it and sew her back up with that evil inside. And they removed a tumor the size of a melon, if you can believe that, from a 3-year-old girl. And the fact that there was no outward signs of that, and it had totally mangled one of her kidneys, so she lost her kidney. And we already knew that it had spread to her lymph nodes and her lungs, both lungs. So it was stage 4 cancer. And she immediately began 16 rounds of radiation and 7 months of chemo. And just to give you a glimpse of what that was like, one of the chemo drugs that we have to give Jane, or that we had to give Jane, is known to cause damage to children's hearts. I mean, we are giving her a poison that they know causes damage to their hearts. And so my husband and I stood there and watched them inject this directly into the port in her chest. And then like a week later, they did an echocardiogram to see if there was any damage evident yet, and there wasn't. And they told us, that means we can give her more. And it's just sort of stunning that these are the non-choices that parents have to make. This is what you have to do to just hopefully save your child's life. But the toxicity of this treatment is felt by these children for the rest of their lives. it shortens their lives. 80% of children are cured of their cancer, but they only go out 5 years. So 80% of children are still living 5 years after diagnosis. If you move the goal line out 30 years to when Jane is 34, that number goes down to 65. So I'm like, is 34, is that old enough for your kids? You know, is that good number good enough? Is that long enough? And, you know, of course, the answer is hell no, it's not. But these are some of the realities that my eyes have been open up to. My worst fear was that we were just going to beat the hell out of Jane and lose her anyway. My husband's worst fear was that we were going to somehow extinguish a light in her, because she was just, we call her Sweet Jane, because she just has such this sweet outlook and says these, you know, adorable things like little girls do. And that was his fear. I honestly believed that those bald kids must get all the funding, right? I mean, when you look at the array of things that childhood diseases that need funding, well, cancer, the kids with cancer, they must get all the funding. And that couldn't be further from the truth, because over 60% of funding for adult cancer drugs comes from pharmaceutical companies. And they will invest millions and millions in the hopes that one of those products will eventually come to market to treat colon cancer or breast cancer or what have you. And because there are so many adults with these cancers, they stand to make billions with a B. So, I mean, I understand that. That's a numbers game. And they will never recoup the investment when it comes to childhood cancers, because there simply aren't enough kids. So they don't invest. So then we look to the government, but the National Cancer Institute, for all of the money that's allocated towards cancer research, less than 4% goes to childhood cancers. I wasn't the sharpest thinker at that time. You know, you're in a very much of a mental fog, but I'm like, what can I do? And I had already made, you know, I had success selling those scarves at Zach's Match. And then I had also in 2016 entered the contest that the Sounders have every year to design the season ticket holder scarf. I entered that and won. And so, you know, there's 30,000 of the scarf that I designed out there. And I'm like, I can design scarves. I can do this. And I had this idea come into my head. So I'm like, well, I need to do something for Stephen Fry. Stephen Fry is the goalkeeper for the Seattle Sounders. I remember reading that he was an artist in addition to being an amazing goalkeeper. So I wrote a letter and said, this is what I'm doing. And then one day I got an email from him saying, you know, I'm so sorry that your family's going through this. Of course I have to help. And attached was the best scarf I've ever seen. It was so perfect in every way. And it was Stefan with this outstretched hand and his glove. And then after that, it said, you shall not pass. And that's really when I knew that this project would take off. So I designed my little website. I got scarvesfightingcancer.com. And the rest is kind of history. We're on 3 years now that we've done this. And because of them raising sort of my profile and Stefan's, even, you know, going to greater lengths to celebrate Stefan's contributions, invaluable contributions, because I can't stress enough that it wouldn't have happened or really wouldn't have taken off the way that it has without his assistance and, you know, his time and talent. We're getting really close to $100,000 over 3 years. We're only 2 years in remission now. We're still very much under the cloud of a potential relapse. But to look to the people who are coming behind you and lend them a hand the way that someone lent you a hand, that's where I am right now. I feel like cancer did not define us, or does not define us. And we're now, I feel like we're in charge again.